Good evening. So I've mentioned before, I've spent a little bit of time in the country of Peru. And one time I was leaving Peru all by myself. It was the first time I'd ever flown anywhere alone. And I was actually going to meet Audrey for the first time. But my dad, he drops me off at the airport, and I go through the gates. And I get there super early because you don't want to miss your flight. So you get to the airport hours early all the time. And so I'm wandering around the airport all by myself. And I start to get thirsty. And, you know, you can't bring liquids through security, so I start looking for something to drink. I stop by this kiosk to get a bottle of water. And now, when I travel, especially internationally, I've taken the habit of not carrying all my money in one place. It's a pretty standard security recommendation. So I'll usually have my money spread out in various places with just a little bit of food money in my pocket within easy reach. And on this particular occasion, I had a batch of fresh Peruvian money in my pocket, some shiny coins. My American dollars, they were tucked in my shoes and in a pocket down my pants and all over the place. But in my pocket, I had this little coin purse with about 50 Peruvian soles, the Peruvian currency. And since many Peruvian stores and markets, they have trouble making change, we usually carry small bills or small coins. And on this occasion, I had a handful of 5 sole coins, and each 5 sole coin is a little bit less than $2, and so with this handful of coins, I could usually get whatever I wanted. And on this day in the airport terminal, I wanted a bottle of water. And so I stopped by this kiosk, and there's this lady there. I'm getting this bottle of water ready to pay. It's about 12 soles or so, and so I hand her a few coins. And the girl looks at the money that I gave her, and she looks back up at me. She looks back at the money. She starts looking at it really close. She looks back at me, and she says, "These are fake." I was a bit surprised by her statement, so I'm just kind of dumbfounded. What? She said, "These are fake." And I started to get a little embarrassed, and what made the situation way worse was that there are these couple of police officers standing right there by the cash register. And so here's this baby-faced gringo, all alone in the airport, standing there like an idiot, trying to pass off some counterfeit currency right in front of these two police officers. So I'm dying a little bit inside, and I'm sure my face was cherry red with embarrassment. I was even more embarrassed when the girl said, "Don't you have any dollars?" Of course, I'm a white guy standing there. I must have some dollars on me. But I wasn't about to start stripping down in the airport just to pay for this bottle of water. And so I told her to forget it, and I walked away very embarrassed and still very thirsty. There are lots of interesting and unique things about Peru that differentiate it from the United States. And one such difference is the prevalence of counterfeit currency. And I don't know how it is now, but at least a few years ago, Peru was ranked as one of the top countries in the world for counterfeit money. And so you had to be really careful about what money you accepted when you went to change your dollars for soles and so on. And we had run into counterfeit bills before, but until that day, we never found any fake coins that we were aware of anyway. But hard as I tried, whether it was paper money or coins, I could never successfully pick out a counterfeit piece of money in Peru. Not once have I been able to identify a false bill. And the reason I couldn't identify counterfeit Peruvian money is because of one simple reason. I couldn't identify the fake because I was too unfamiliar with the real thing. Jesus warns in Matthew 24:24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Likewise, Paul, in speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:29-31, says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Then he warns Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves false teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Peter likewise adds a warning, 2 Peter 2:1, "But false prophets also arose among the people. But just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." These are just a few of many verses that demonstrate the fact that God warns us that there will be false teachers proclaiming false messages, false doctrines, false Christs to the world. But I think we know that. We've heard that before. But God, knowing that this would happen, he saw fit to leave us his word to combat this danger to the body of Christ. And for the sake of time, so we don't cut into the video this evening, I'll simply say what could take an entire sermon or two to say. since we are warned over and over again to watch for false teachers, then I think we need to take that warning seriously. And God tells us in his word that there are several ways to guard against these ravenous wolves that lead the children of God astray. We have an eldership to guide and protect every congregation of the Lord's church. An eldership that is to be made up of a plurality of men who have demonstrated their knowledge and ability in the word, who are to prevent false teaching from taking place. Or we're told to examine people's fruits, to look at people, to see what they do, what they say. If they don't look like Christ in their actions, then they're probably not of Christ. And we're to be knowledgeable of the word of God ourselves. We live in this time and place where every person in this country has basically unlimited access to the word of God. Yet we live in a time and a place where people do not take advantage of the immense blessing of the Bible, where we don't immerse ourselves in it so that we may each grow in faith and love of God and so that we may know the truth and not be led astray. And since people in today's society don't take seriously their responsibility to study the word of God for themselves, we have this immense amount of false teaching running rampant in this country and, of course, around the world. People don't know what is right and true and what is wrong and false because they haven't studied the word for themselves. So I just ask a question. Can you spot a fake? Can you tell when someone is teaching heresy, denying the doctrine of God in favor of man-made teachings? Do you know the real thing well enough to spot the fake? It's easy to get pulled to the left or to the right of the path of God that he has laid out for us. The easiest way to spot a fake is to study the real thing, to know it so well that you will immediately be able to detect any deviation from it. So that is my encouragement tonight, that we take seriously our individual responsibility to know and to learn from God's word, and that we may rest assured in the knowledge that we are following after God and not after the vain, destructive doctrines of men. So I hope you don't end up like I did at the airport, thinking that I had the real thing when in reality it was counterfeit. Sadly, that will be the case for many on the last day. Matthew 7:21-23, well-known passage. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be anyone that any of us meet in our daily lives. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, if you haven't submitted to the will of God, we invite you to do that tonight through faith, confession, repentance, and baptism, and living a faithful life to God until your last day here on earth. And if you've done those first few things, but you've gone astray, you followed after the teachings of the world and left Christ, now is the time to come back to him and to rejoin his family. So if you have any spiritual need whatsoever this evening, now's the time to come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, he will restore. And your iniquities,
dismissed your classes.